Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. That's where we're going to start today. We're going to look at a lot of verses this morning in our Sunday school in Proverbs. So keep your Bibles handy, or if you really just want to take notes, you might jot them all down. But listen, as we'll try to read most of them, but there's a lot of verses today in our study here this morning in the book of Proverbs. I don't know a good way to title it. I guess if you want to put a title on it, I know Miss Kim will for the internet purposes, but you could call it a character test. Now, how many of you have ever taken those tests, you know, at a magazine or internet article or something, that you answer a whole bunch of questions and it tells you what kind of personality you have, or it tells you what kind of person you should marry, or it tells you how good a friend you are, or how good an employee, and all those things. You know, y'all taking those tests, right? Now, some of them, sometimes, they get close, you know, or at least they get close to what you think you are, right? Or not. There's some of you, you've taken the test, you say, that isn't at all like me. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't, because you don't want to admit it. Now, this morning, we're going to do one of those. Except for, you are not going to be able to argue at all with the results. Because the test is found right here. And it's going to give you some characteristics, and you'll fall into them. And you say, oh, well, I know which one I'm going to fall into. You better wait till the end and make sure. But that's what we're going to do this morning, looking at the book of Proverbs. So that'll be our study. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started with Sunday school this morning. Lord God, we thank you for the day. Thank you for allowing us to be here. We do thank you for each one that was able to get up and come to Sunday school this morning. We do pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word, that you might bless it, that, Lord God, you might speak to our hearts, that you would help each one to honestly consider the scriptures this morning, to put themselves in those scriptures, to not just write it off and say, there's no way this applies to me in any shape, form, or fashion. But Lord God, we do pray that you would continue to bless not only our services today, but the other Sunday school classes this morning, the teachers that we have next door, those working just all around the buildings, Lord God, teaching young ones or just doing what their part is, helping. We do pray that you might use them this morning, that kids might be encouraged and have fun and learn some things about your word. May you also be glorified in what's said and done here today, and may you be pleased with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, take your Bibles. You're in Proverbs. Look at chapter 1. Now, first off, in the first several verses, we're going to read about the first 9 verses, 8 verses, and then we're going to skip over into the other part of Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to skip some of it just for the sake of time. But the first part is really kind of given to you as of why Proverbs is written. What is the purpose of the book of Proverbs? Now, how many of you, just out of curiosity, read a proverb a day? All right, that's good. Many of you have been taught that. It's a simple thing to do. There's 31 proverbs, and there's roughly 30 to 31 days a month. So every month, or every month, you can read through Proverbs just by whatever day it is. Today was the 5th. You should have read the 5th proverb. You say, well, what happens when there's 30 days in the month? Well, read 2, or just don't learn about the virtuous woman. I always want to call it, just skip her in chapter 31. I know, I'm just kidding. Don't skip her. Read 2 on that day or whatever. But it's a great thing. And, you know, when we teach Proverbs to the kids, we always teach it as, this is where you go in the Bible to learn character. I mean, these are truths that are found in the Word of God. You say, yeah, but they're Proverbs. It doesn't matter. God saw fit to put them in His Word, therefore He wants you to have them. And they're true, and He means them. And so there's characteristics, there's character traits, and you know what? If there's one thing missing in our society today, it's character, especially among young generation. The millennials, for instance, oh man, no character, you know. But what's sad is, where'd they learn it? Well, they learned it from, what was it, Generation X or Y or whichever one's before that. And, you know, it just trickles on down. Can you imagine? I saw an article this week. I was looking through the news and they were talking about, move over, millennials. The next generation is coming into the workforce. And I thought, well, big deal. The millennials didn't work. So, I mean, what's that going to do? Affect no one. I was like, wow. You know, I was thinking, well, yeah, now the millennials will have somebody to complain about, I guess. But you know, it just keeps coming. But imagine how bad it's going to get. All right, so let's look at some of these things. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, the foundation right there to knowledge, wisdom, everything, understanding is found in verse number 8. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. In verse 7, we saw the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know what? If you fear your parents and you fear God, you'll do a lot better in life than most other people. That's the foundation. And what our government has done is took the fear of the parents out of the kids. Because, you know, what can parents do? I got more rights than the parents have, you know, as kids. You know, that's the way they look at it. But, you know, parents have been a big help in allowing that to happen as well. But notice, and then of course, everyone's trying to take the fear of the Lord. I mean, Bible teachers today taking fear of the Lord isn't even fear of the Lord. I got news for you. Fear is fear. I don't care how you look at it. You say, oh, it's reverential trust. No, that'll just get you in trouble. You should trust God, but if you don't fear Him, you're going to wind up in a mess according to what we see here at the end of this. Now, let's look, jump over here and jump to verse number 20. Now, what happens in verses 10 through 19, you see a description of the wicked and what they're doing in the world. And we're not really focusing on that this morning, so we kind of skip over that for our lesson today. Now, in verse 20, though, we see something that's interesting. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. How's that for the God that the society promotes to you today? Better yet, how's that for God that religion promotes to you today? Oh, our God is a loving God and accepts all peoples and all kinds and all things. Yeah, that's true to a point. And notice here, he says there's a time where I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. It's not the message today, but we tell this to the kids all the time. The worst thing God can do is give you exactly what you want. That's the worst thing God will ever do for you. Say, why? Look at the answer. For they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and shall be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. See, we got a society today, and for the most part, if we're not careful, we as Christians, we think, as long as I'm prospering, then I'm in the will of God. That's not true. Now, you can be in the will of God and prosper, but you can be out of the will of God and prosper physically just as well. You say, why? Because God will let you sometimes. Why? Because the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, so let's look at this thing here this morning. Now, in the book of Proverbs, now I realize there's a lot of different people mentioned, but they'll fall into one of these four categories for the most part. Now, there might always be a little exception here or there. Exception proves the rule, right? Now, in Proverbs, you find four people. You find simple, you find fools, you find scorners, and you find the wise. Which one are you? Somebody's not happy in the nursery. All right. Lovely. Probably folks not happy when they come in here and found out Brother Water wasn't here this morning either. It's just all around the building. Now, but here's our character test. What the Bible says, be in accord. I guess we're all at least in accord, you know. But here's our character test. There's the simple, there's the fool, there's the scorner, and there's the wise. Now, which one are you? You say, well, I'm no fool. I'm not a scorner. Some of you are like, what is a scorner? You know, we're going to look at that. You'll learn. But you're thinking, I'm none of these things. No. Well, I don't want to call myself wise because then I'd be proud. So, well, but I don't want to be simple. You say, wow, isn't there another category? I mean, have you ever done one of those tests in a magazine and realized, don't I fit somewhere else? Isn't there somewhere else? You know, there's got to be another category, right? I mean, there's got to be. No, this is what we have here this morning. Now, let's look at this. All right, first off, let's look through the simple. Let's see what Proverbs says about the simple. Now, remember, you can't argue. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, we're just going to read the Bible and see what the Bible says. All right, the word simple, what does it mean? I looked it up in the dictionary, and it means weak in intellect. Boy, nobody wants to be simple anymore, do they? All right, but you know what? Simple ain't bad. Well, and that's getting way ahead, but simple, weak in intellect, not wise or sagacious. Boy, don't you love when you read the dictionary and it defines the word with a word, you don't have an idea what it means, and then you have to go and look that word up. I mean, boy, that's just learning, right? That's how you learn. But that, that's just the way they did. I think those dictionary writers, I think they did that on purpose. How do you get them to read our dictionary? Well, use a bunch of words that people don't know, and they constantly have to use it. Now, sagacious, you know what it means? It means quick of thought, acute in discernment. Now, I know we like to use that phrase, people are quick. You know, when somebody can come up with a wisecrack real quick, you know, we say, oh, they're quick. That's not what that means. When it means quick of thought, it means you can look at a situation, you can see it, and say, you know what, that ain't right. Instead of having to be told and told and told, and then one day figure out, oh yeah, you know, that really wasn't right. See, that's the opposite of simple. So that's what it means. So simple is not, it says not wise or sagacious. So not quick of thought, not accurate. And then another word was just plain silly. Now that word everybody understands, right? But that was the definition for the word. Now, let's look at something, all right? Take your Bibles, look in Proverbs chapter 9. Now, you say, does that definition match up with Scripture? Well, let's check it out. Proverbs chapter 9, look at verse 13. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. That's not glamorous, that's clamorous. There's a C there, no G. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and what? Knoweth nothing. See, now there's simple, that's the basic definition of the word, weak in intellect, right? It means you don't know much. And you know what? At certain points in your life, there is absolutely nothing wrong with being simple. I mean, you don't expect first graders to know how to do calculus. They need what? Simple math. Well, first, they got to learn the numbers so they can do simple math, right? So they can learn 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 1 minus 1, 2 minus 2, all those things, right? So, I mean, there's points in your life where you need to be simple. So simple is not necessarily a bad thing. So if you're in that category this morning, if you say, well, I sure don't know much, well, then maybe this test has identified you. But we're going to look at ways you can improve that. So first off, we see by definition, simple means somebody that doesn't know much. Now, here's Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15. Let's look at another characteristic connected with being simple. Proverbs 14:15, the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, so what is the definition there of simple? Somebody that believes everything you tell them. Oh, just sadness all over the building. It's going to be our theme today. All right. At least we got one, right? All right. So, one, who believes everything they tell him. I've had parents come to me and tell me, oh, my child would never lie to me. You're simple. That's what the Bible said. You know why? Because the Bible says all men are liars. And they'll lie to you. They'll lie to me. It's unreal. I mean, the more I deal with kids, it's like, wow. I'm like, how do you parents? So, you know, I don't even want nothing to do with that nonsense. I mean, think about it. I mean, these kids, you know, you catch them red-handed in junior church. I'll watch them. They'll reach over and they'll hit somebody. And I'll say, you stop. You just hit that person. No, I did not. I'm looking dead at you. You know what? Adults ain't no different. They come in, you know, the ones that will come in for counsel, and you tell them, no, that's not me. I didn't do that. No. It's amazing. But notice here, believe every word. That's the definition simple. I'm going to tell you, if that's you as a parent this morning, you better get away from that. Say, why? Because it's going to cost you dearly in the end. You know what? I mean, if you're a person, you know, that's the problem. You know, why does the news media cause so much chaos and fear and panic? Because they believe every word. You know, I had a guy, you know, I got in an argument with a guy. He said, oh, I don't believe anything mainstream media tells me. Mainstream media, they're corrupt. It's just corrupt. They're left wing. They're right wing. Or, you know, whatever wing you want to put them in. They're just corrupt. And I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I believe the lone guy on the internet. He's the only one out there reporting the truth. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, don't it? See, nothing wrong being simple till you believe every word. All right, look at another definition by the Bible. Look at 14:18. You're right there. You don't have to move. The simple inherit folly. You ever feel like you just inherit folly constantly? I mean, you ever just feel like constantly, and you're like, man, I'm in this mess, and then I go to this mess, and then I go to this mess, and then I go to this mess. You ever just stopped and think, wait a minute, maybe I'm causing some of this? Maybe some things I am doing in my life is resulting in the folly that I'm inheriting. I don't know. It's not always that way. I know Job didn't do anything to get what he got. I'm not saying every time something goes wrong, it's because you're simple. But I'm just saying, the Bible tells you the simple inherit folly. If that's constantly in your world, maybe God's showing you something this morning. But once again, nothing wrong with necessarily being a simple. Look at the next one. There's actually two of these. God thought enough of you to put it twice in here. So if you read your proverb a day, you'll get it twice a month. Look at Proverbs 22, verse number 3. So, you see, one of the characteristics, one of the people we can be, according to Proverbs, is simple. They don't know nothing. They believe every word. They inherit folly. But then, this is where it gets dangerous. You know, because, I mean, you know, what's the old saying? Ignorance is bliss. Right? Ignorance is bliss until you wind up in the ditch because of your ignorance. And then it's not so blissful anymore, right? I mean, there is a time when not knowing is great. I mean, when you're a child, you don't know the dangers. You don't know the care. You know, I was watching during Hurricane Harvey, and there was a family that was being evacuated somewhere up in the Houston area. And I was watching this thing on this video, and you know, and their, I mean, their home is totally underwater. They've been evacuated. They're in the back of one of them great big giant army trucks. I forget which one they're called, Deuce and a Half, whatever. I don't know all the I know the nomenclature. I just don't know which vehicle goes with which. You know, but they're in there, and there's about a 2-year-old kid, and he is having the time of his life. He gets to ride in that truck. And that is the greatest thing ever. You say, why? Because he's ignorance is bliss. He don't really fully comprehend your house just got washed away. You know, he don't comprehend, you know, everything you have is gone. So that kind of is good when it's that simplicity. But when it gets you in the ditch, you don't want to be there. Proverbs 22, look at verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. See, God says a simple man, he sees that evil. You warn him of that evil. You tell him he's on the wrong path. And they just keep going. Maybe that's you this morning. I don't know. All right, so what's the next characteristic? All right, we got simple. We defined that. We gave some scripture for that. How about the fool? Well, everybody, no, no, I know I'm not a fool. No, 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 no. All right, let's look at it. Take your Bibles. Look in Proverbs chapter 1. We've got to go backwards. We're going to flip back and forth. At least you stay in the book of Proverbs, right? Proverbs chapter 1. Now, what is the definition of a fool? I love this definition. I got it straight out of the dictionary. One who is destitute of reason. You ever tried to reason with a fool? You know? Now, think about it. I love parents. You know, once again, I'm not picking on parents this morning. And if I was one, I'd probably do the same thing. That's why I can pick on them, because I'm not one and I hadn't done those same mistakes yet. But you ever watched a parent try to reason with a one-year-old? Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, right? And reason drives it from him. That's not what that verse says, does it? It amazes me. Watch them in the supermarket, watch them in, you know, wherever. They'll reason with a toddler, reason with him. Now, you know, I mean, just try to this grand philosophical reason. And I'm thinking, that don't work. It don't work one bit. It's like reasoning with a terrorist. I mean, come on, you know. I mean, if somebody believes blowing myself up sends me to heaven or paradise, as they call it, well, you're going to reason me out of pulling the switch. Not going to happen. You know, I mean, children, they you know, it's so funny. You know, but one that is destitute of reason. Why? Children are foolish. It's in them. The Bible says it's in them. You can understand that definition by that. Now, one that is destitute of reason or common powers of understanding. Acts absurdly. Well, there's nobody in this room that ever acts absurdly, is there? Say, now I'm a fool. Yep. Boy, it's a fun character test, isn't it? Acts absurdly. Does not exercise reason. Now, this was in my dictionary. Of course, this dictionary is biblically based. It was written in the 1800s. In Scripture, one who follows his own inclinations. Preacher says, you don't need to do that. I'm going to do it anyway. You're not ready for that. I don't care what he says. That's not good for you. I don't care what he says. Follows his own inclinations. That's a fool. In Scripture, one who follows his own inclinations, who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God. That's going to cost you something in serving God. I'd be all right. I'll get by it. Let somebody else. Whatever. Notice here. One who is destitute of reason. Now let's see what the Bible says about a fool. Verse number 7. Chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Sad to say, probably every man in this building is a fool. Why? Because men resort to instructions as a last resort. Do you not? I can put it together. Why do I need instructions? Right? It's funny, but then the husband's the head of the house, and the woman says, he don't know what he's talking about. I work y'all in somewhere. Why? Because we're in the same boat. You see, the Bible says fools hate instruction. Every one of you hate instruction. You say, why? Because we don't like it. It's in our nature. Why? Because we're foolish by nature. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I guarantee you, as much rod of correction as I got, there's probably I needed more. And I think I got my share plus somebody else's share. I know I got my sister share some from time to time. But you see, but you don't get it all out. It'd be amazing if you could discipline a child one time and that'd be it. But it don't work that way. We just, fools, you despise instruction. There's going to be a theme with this. Look in chapter 10, verse number 8. You might not like the theme, but it's going to be there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Prating fool will not receive in commandments. He despises instruction, won't receive commandments. There's some people, they just, you know what? They cannot handle authority. Usually they're the ones that think they can the best. You know, we were watching this television show the other day. It's always kind of right the opposite of, you know, and there was this young lady on there. Oh, I'm a rebel. She's just telling how much she hates authority. She couldn't make one decision for herself. Say, why? She's trying to convince herself she hates authority when really she's just insecure. See, we're always usually the opposite of what we think we are. But notice here, the Bible says when we can't take commandment, that's a fool. And, I mean, that's the Bible. I don't like that definition more than anybody in here. But guess what? It's there. We'll move on. Proverbs 10:18. Everybody's starting to turn the page, but there it is. Now, boy, this one's really hard. Because it'll hit everybody in this room. Once again, He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Now, granted, we don't need to be slandering one another. That's foolish, right? But you know what? The Bible puts you in the same category there with he that hideth hatred with lying lips. That's somebody that'll eat you up to your face and utter a slander behind your back. So, oh, that's a hypocrite. Well, yeah, the Bible calls him a fool. And we do that all the time. That's foolish. But it's characteristic of a fool. Let's read on. Boy, it's getting quiet. Boy, this one's going to be hard. The scorner, it's not even better, so it don't get better, so I don't know what to tell. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Every teenager in America. Say, why? Oh, mom and dad, they don't know what they're talking about. Pastor, oh, he can't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm doing's right. And you say, well, some mom will say, well, I know what I'm doing's wrong. That's even more foolish. You know? But fool's way is right in his own eyes. Come to the pastor, you get counsel, he tells you what to do. You say, oh, he can't know what he's talking about. Why? Because a fool's way is right in his own eyes. You get three or four people tell you the same thing, you better watch out. Say, there's no way. You know what? It's funny. You know, you got to look at these things. You got to look at it. You got to say, is there any way? I mean, how many of you ever said this? Is there any way possible I could be right and everybody else be wrong? Now, I like to think that from time to time. Because I think a lot differently than most people. But yet, you know what? I know what that'll get you at the same time. That's foolish. 9 times out of 10, I got if I got a handful of people telling me not to do something or telling me this is wrong or I shouldn't go this course or this is not the right thing, you know what? Eventually, you better stop and say, you know what? I can't be right. You know why? Because most of us are led by our eyes, which affects our heart, and the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says. So a fool is right, his ways are right in his own eyes. Now look at Proverbs 13. Now here's the bad one. You say, wow, it gets worse? Sure. Proverbs 13:19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. I mean 13:19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. When you've identified something is wrong, and it's been identified to you, especially by counsel, by multiple counsel, as not being right, and you refuse to depart from that, you know what? That puts you in the category of a fool by the Bible's definition, right? And what it says there is, it says if you continue in that, it it almost will become, it's like it becomes an abomination for you to depart from that. Now think about what that verse is saying. That means that you can get so messed up inside that you would consider it an abomination to abandon the position. Is that not what it's saying? It says, for it is an abomination to fools, to depart from evil. You continue in that long enough, you'll get to the point to where it is an abomination. That's why it is so hard for lost people, especially today, with the wickedness and the things that are in the world, to get them out of it. Because our society has said, the only abomination is to not do it. That's where it's wrong. That's where it's not going to happen. But you see, that's what the Bible says. And that's one of the bad or the very most dangerous end results of foolishness. All right, you say, what about that scorner? We got to move. Short time in Sunday school. You're just like, praise the Lord, let's move as fast as we can. Scorner, what is a scorner? You got to be careful with this one because the Bible says God will scorn the scorners. So scorn may not be a bad thing when it's done righteously in the hands of God. But still, the scorner is never positive in the book of Proverbs. Other than God scorning the scorner, of course. But notice here, scorner. What is a scorner? Extreme contempt. Disdain which springs from a person's opinion of meanness. Now, meanness there is not like, oh, they're so mean. No, it's about it's meanness in the sense of like an average, the mean, you know, in a mathematical term. From an opinion of meanness of an object. And a consciousness or belief of his own superiority or worth. Say, what is that? Put that in English. Put that in layman's terms. It means, I'm better than you, is what it means. And I'm going to scorn you because I'm better than you. And what I do is better than what you do. That's scorning. Well, I'm more spiritual because I go to visitation every time we have it at church, or I go to prayer meeting every time we have it at church, or I don't miss a service and so, they're only there half the time. I'm better than that. Scorning. That's a scorner. You say, why that's scorning? You're putting yourself above others based on what you think that the meanness of the object that you're being compared with. That's scorning. Now, it also means, of course, once again, to deride, to make a mock of, to ridicule as contemptible. You know, to ridicule, to scorn. It has that definition. Look at a couple examples in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse number 8. Now, if you remember, a fool, the first one we gave was he what? He despises wisdom and instruction. That's a fool. Now, the next step is becoming a scorner. Because look at what happens in Proverbs 9:8. Reprove not a scorner. The Bible's trying to tell you not to reprove a scorner. You say, well, why would you not do that? Look at the reason. Verse 7 is one. I want 7 and 8. They're together. Sorry, I started in the wrong one. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh the wicked man get himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Say, what's the definition of a scorner? One that hates those that reprove him. That's biblically a scorner. When you can't take reproof, you're becoming, and you... That's you know, ignoring the reproof, that's foolish. That's what the Bible said, despising instruction. But when you tend to hate that person because they reproved you, that's scorning. See, you've put a contempt for that person. There's that definition coming back to play. So a scorner, now, you say, what happens? You know, sometimes you still have to reprove a scorner. And you know what you get? You get a blot. You know, you reprove a scorner, they go out, they run you down to everybody. No big deal. You know, that's why it says, reprove not a scorner unless you get a blot or a shame. People don't like you. Why? Because you reproved them. You know, it happens in the ministry. Yeah, I reprove people and they hardly ever talk to you again. But that's scorning. But that now, that's what the Bible says. Look at some more. We got a few more on our list. Proverbs 9. Look at, I'm in the wrong list. Proverbs 13, sorry. Proverbs 13, 1. Now, scorner also doesn't hear the rebuke. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. He won't hear it. He'll not only hate you for it, but he won't hear it. That's a scorner. All right, moving on. Proverbs, I keep going to the wrong list. Proverbs 14, 6. I like this one. Proverbs 14, 6. Now, here's the funny thing. Scorners seek wisdom. Say, boy, that sounds backwards because they despise instruction and they won't hear rebuke. How are they going to get wisdom? Well, look at the answer. Verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not. Scorner will always tell you he's looking for help. No, he's not. He just wants to scorn the answer he gets. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. It's characteristics of a scorner. Proverbs 15, chapter 12. Verse 12. Proverbs 15, verse 12. Next one on our list. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. There it is again. He loveth not one that reproveth him, and he won't go to the wise. You know what? Every one of us, when we want counsel, most of the time we go to the person we think is going to give us the answer we want. You know? In talking with kids before, you know, you finally pin them down. You say, well, why didn't you get counsel? And they'll say, I've had some of them just flat out be honest because I knew you'd tell me no. Just like you and your parents. Why didn't you ask your parents? Because they would say no. They won't go into the wise. They go to where they get the answer they want. And that's dangerous. Why? Because God destroys you with what you want sometimes. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So we've seen the negatives. We've seen the simple can be both ways. We've seen the fool. We've seen the rebuke. Now, the wise, we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on that, right? I'll give you some verses for the sake of our Sunday school time. I'll give you some verses. What does it mean to be wise? Properly having knowledge. Power of judging and discerning correctly, choosing laudable ends. You say, oh, where's those words that we got to define? Laudable. It means praiseworthy, commendable. Have you ever asked a kid, have you ever had your kids or teens or young adults, whatever, you ever said, well, you know, what do you hope to get out of that? And they don't know. That's because when you're wise, you look at everything by its ends. How's this going to end up? Forget about what I want for the moment. Is this really going to be good for me 10 years down the road? That's wisdom. Because you're looking for the end. And you're looking for the end to be praiseworthy. You're looking for the end to be commendable. Choosing laudable ends and the best means to accomplish them. Not only do you see what's good, but then you got to be able to choose the right way to get to what's good. And that's wisdom. That's hard. And that's especially hard for teenagers and young adults. And today, even older adults. Say, why? Because of the generation we live in. It's a now society. You know what? Our great-great-grandparents, they didn't believe in debt, did they? I'm not against debt. I got debt. You know? There's a difference between serviceable debt and non-serviceable debt. You know? But our great-great-great-grandparents, they didn't believe in debt, period. And you say, what'd they do? Oh, they sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed so they could pay for something. They saw the end. And they knew what was better. But the difference was, they was willing to make the sacrifice. You know what? Young people are not ready for certain things. And they're not willing to sacrifice to wait on it. Well, I stirred up my class a couple Wednesday nights ago. We got on a debate in there. We just talking. And boy, they got all stirred up. I said, the goofiest thing in the world is considering an adult at 18. Say, why? Well, number one, it ain't scriptural. In the Bible, They didn't know right and wrong. The ones under 20 got into the promised land. You know, not only that, but let's look at how we break this up. At 18, I can enlist in the military. I can handle multi-million dollar machinery, weapons, all that kind of stuff. I can literally destroy thousands of people, but I cannot go out and buy a handgun. Okay, let's flip it around. At 18, I can vote and decide this country's fate, but I'm not capable of handling a gun. Ain't it goofy? Our society, you know why? Because we're trying to make adults, children, we're trying to make children adults. And they're not, but nonetheless. I was reading an article the other day, they got research now saying that today's 18-year-old is yesterday's 15-year-old. That's worldly research, that's not spiritual research. But notice here, the Bible says you got to be able to see that latter end. That's wisdom. You got to be able to look down the road. That's wisdom. You got to know the end. What did Proverbs say? It said, the prudent man, that's also wisdom. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. That's where we're at. We got to be able to see that in. And that takes wisdom. All right? Proverbs 1:5, it says that a wise man will hear. You know, we'll look at this one because it basically sums it up. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear. Now, we already saw that the scorner won't hear rebuke, right? So that category's out. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. Fools despise knowledge and instruction. Or is it wisdom and instruction? Wisdom and instruction. So they're not going to learn. That category's out. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Notice it didn't say shall get wise counsel. It said shall attain unto wise counsel. It means do it. Follow it. Those kind of things. See, the wise man right there, just that one verse knocks out all the other three categories. Because all those other three we saw won't do what that is. That's the definition of a wise man. He will hear, he will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. You say, is that a theme? Sure. In Proverbs chapter, where are we at? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 33. You don't have to flip over there. But it says, here a wise man will hear and listen to instruction. In Proverbs 9:9, it says, a wise man loves them that rebuke him. Well, that's the opposite of a scorner. He loves them that rebuke him. In 10:8, it says, he lays up knowledge. In 12:5, he hearkeneth unto counsel. In 13:1, he heareth his father's instruction. In 13:20, chooses good companions. In 14:6 or 16, I can't read my own writing, he feareth and departeth from evil. That's the definition of a wise man. Now, you say, wow, boy, that's a character test. Yeah, I don't like that one. Say, I'm not doing any more character tests in my life. I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. Especially when they're out of the Bible. You know, I can tell that. I can look at that magazine. I can say, oh, that's a bunch of junk. That author don't know what he's talking about. Some psychologist trying to tell me who I am and what I am and all that stuff. Boy, it's hard to tell God. That's not right. Because those are things God lays out. Those are definitions by God. Now, if you saw something in yourself, I guarantee you, I saw a lot of things in myself I didn't like when I went over this message. Or lesson, whatever you want to call it. What do you do when you see those things you don't like? What do you do if you say, I saw myself this morning as a fool? What do you do if you say, I saw myself this morning as simple? What do you do if I saw myself as a scorner? Or what do you do if I saw myself as not wise? Which is the other three. What do you do? Look it back to Proverbs chapter 1. Isn't it funny? God put all this in Proverbs chapter 1 and then gives you the whole rest of it. Look in Proverbs chapter 1. When wisdom was crying out in the street, when wisdom was crying within the when her voice was heard in the streets, when she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, I'm in verse 21. Now, look at verse 22. Here's what she's saying. How long? How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? If you're simple this morning, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Until it allows you to become a fool. Hey, you know what? A young Christian doesn't know anything. That's the best place in the world for them to be. But if you've been a young Christian for 20 years, there's a problem. How long will you love simplicity? You know what? In that article I was telling you about where they say today's 18-year-old is yesterday's 15-year-old. You know what? You know what they're basing that on? They were basing that on studies where 18 to 25-year-olds are refusing to go to work. They're getting their driver's license at a later time. They're becoming less engaged in adult activities. You say, why? Because they're simple. They don't want that. Why? Because with knowledge comes responsibility. Once you learn something's wrong, you're responsible for not doing it or doing it. Right? It's easy to say, oh, officer, I'm sorry, I didn't know the speed limit. Well, he don't care. But guess what? If he pulls you over in the same spot the next week, I didn't know. Yeah, right. See what I mean? Simple. There's nothing wrong with being simple until it takes you to the next step of foolishness. And foolishness takes you to scorner. And before long, it's an abomination for you to even do right. But notice here, what do? How long, you simple ones, we love simplicity. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. It's asking you the question. If you identified as any one of those, how long will you love simplicity? How long will scorners delight in scorning? How long will fools hate knowledge? Look at verse 22. Here's your solution. Turn you at my reproof. God's trying. He's given you every opportunity. Verse 22, turn you at my reproof. Maybe He sent people to tell you you're doing wrong. You know what? When you're faced with something, you know, it's like when you're faced with evil, they always tell you to, you ever notice the phrase is always, turn and run? It's not just run. Say, why? Because if you run and you're facing the wrong direction, you'll wind up in a worse state than where you were. The first word out of God's mouth was, after He said, how long will you love simplicity? How long will scorners delight in scorning? How long will fools hate knowledge? He said what? Turn. You're the only one that can do that. Boy, it'd be nice. Parents, I know parents in here, don't you wish you could just take your children and go, turn them? Can't do it, can you? You can try. You can put some things that kind of try to navigate them to turn. But you know what? At the end of the day, they're going to turn or they're not going to turn. And that's hard. But turn. You know what? Adults, we're the same way. God would just like to take us, pick us up, turn us, and probably kick us that direction. But He, turn you at my reproof. Now listen, that's not the end of it. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Until you turn, you ain't never going to get direction. You ain't never going to get guidance. You ain't never going to get help. You got to turn. Look at the rest. Look at the next verse. But ye have said it not all my counsels. I'm sorry. I skipped verse 24. Because I have called and ye have refused. Step number one, turn. Step number two, quit refusing to turn. God tells them. He says, I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You know what? I've stretched out my hand. When you shake hands with somebody, you're in what? Fellowship, I guess. But in a business deal, what it used to mean was you're in agreement. Turn you at my reproof. Quit refusing my call. Take my hand. Get in agreement with God on the matter. Get in agreement with God and the counsel and the things that He showed you. I have stretched out my hand. I don't even know where I'm at. My notes are on the wrong page. Turn. Whoa, I'm up. There we are. Quit refusing. Agree with God. Take His counsel. But ye have said it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof. Verse 25. Take it. Say, why? Because if you don't do those things, there will come a point where God may laugh at your calamity. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. That's not what we're talking about this morning. But there's a lot of Christians that wind up in a place of no return, where God can't use them and can't do anything with them. Why? Because they couldn't identify themselves as their characteristic. They couldn't turn. They couldn't take the reproof. They couldn't get in agreement with God and go a different direction. You know what? Being identified as any of these things, every one of us landed in the simple category, the fool category, and the scorner category. I guarantee you this morning, if everybody would be 100% honest, every one of us landed in that category in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Say, what? Now that it's been identified, let's do something about it. Turn. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the day. Help us in the rest of our services here. Thank you for this Sunday school lesson. May you be pleased with the results and what can be done in our hearts through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.